attending my class. We're going to have fun talking about creating wow experiences and how to serve guests at your church with excellence. My name is Ryan Bean. I live in Sugar Land, Texas, which is in the Houston area. And I'm the Connections Minister at the First Colony Church of Christ. And that means I work with guest service and everything that happens with new people when they come to our church and just need to find out where things are in the building. I help with our follow-up communication system. To help with people just getting involved in groups and programs and going through our membership process. And I work with our small groups and our small group leaders. So all that keeps me busy, but it's a lot of fun and I really enjoy it. Let's be honest, you could have gone to listen to Randy Harris right now in Elkins Auditorium. So I love that you're here because that shows me that you have a heart for guest service and that you want to be thoughtful about how guests are treated at your church. And let me tell you something, I get really just energized talking about guest service. I love talking about it. I believe that deep down everybody's a nerd, and some of us like to cover that up more than others, but everybody likes to nerd out about things. And guest service, it's my nerd passion. So I love talking to anybody that wants to talk about this. I love it. So it's awesome that you're here. I'm confident that nothing you'll hear in this session is just going to come out of nowhere, because deep down you get these concepts and it makes sense, but it's going to be energizing for you too, and you'll feel the session just help equip you, and that you'll have a good sense of how to serve guests at your church as well. So before we get off, I'm going to kick our time off together with a little game that I like to call the Getting to Know You game. And so what I'm going to do is present some options, and you get to select your preference. And you can say your preference by raising your hand, or you can shout loud and proud. When I do this in Texas, people like to yell. And so I'd love for you to show me that not everything is bigger and louder in Texas, so you can go ahead and yell loud and proud too. But here's a one rule of the game, is you have to choose an option, okay? You can't ride on the fence, but you have to pick one. And imagine if you don't pick an option that you have to jump into a tank full of great white sharks or something like that, okay? So you ready? Okay, the Getting to Know You game. So if you are buying a car, would you rather buy a Ford or a Honda? So let's hear from the Ford people. Who would get a Ford? All right. American made, right? Okay, so who would get a Honda?
Honda!
All right, lots of Honda folks. I realized after I made this slide that we actually have a Ford and a Honda. So perhaps I did that with like subliminal messaging or something. Okay, if you are getting your phone and you're getting an upgrade, would you get an Apple product or are you an Android person? So who's going to get an Apple phone, or the Apple people?
Oh.
Wow, like a ton of you. Okay, who's got an Android phone?
Android!
All right, there we go. There's several. I think Apple on that one. I'm an Apple guy. I have my MacBook over there and my iPhone, and we have Apple TV, so apparently we've been brainwashed by the Apple Corporation. Okay, let's say you're on a road trip and you're getting your big swig to get in the car and be on a long road trip. Are you going to stop at Starbucks to get a drink, or would you rather stop at 7-Eleven? So who would definitely stop at Starbucks on a road trip?
Starbucks.
All right. What about 7-Eleven? All right. That one's pretty even. That was good. Okay. I would probably go to Starbucks, I think. I'm going to move my phone here. I tried to pick the two most opposite performers I could think of. So if you're listening to music, would you rather listen to George Strait or would you rather listen to Beyonce? So who loves George Strait? Who would? They don't call him the king for nothing, right? Okay, what about Beyonce?
Yeah, Beyonce.
All right. This is a tough one for me. I'm kind of a rock guy, but I think I would go with Beyonce. Okay, and then last, let's say you're going to get a quick bite to eat. Are you going to go inside the Whole Foods and go to their to-go bar and get something healthy from Whole Foods, or will you go to In-N-Out Burger? So who would go to In-N-Out Burger?
In-N-Out.
All right, who's going to stop at Whole Foods?
Whole Foods.
All right, there's a good crew of you. I think In-N-Out won that one. I wish I would do the responsible thing and go to Whole Foods, but I like a double-double animal style, like everybody, right? So I would go to In-N-Out. Okay, well, I always think that gives a funny exercise because it kind of helps us learn some things about each other. Another reason I like to play a game with groups is it illustrates two things. First, we all have preferences, right? We all have likes and dislikes that make up our personality, but on a much deeper level than what kind of food you like to eat or what kind of car you like to drive, we all have a unique life story and a set of personal experiences that make us individuals. And that's something that becomes obvious the more you get to know a person. It's not so apparent when you meet brand new people and you don't know anything about their history. So we all have preferences. Second takeaway from our game is something that you know intuitively. We all know that whenever you visit an organization, that organization makes an impression on you. So let's test that assumption. I'm going to throw out some types of organizations, and I just want you to shout out one or two words that come to mind when you think about your experience at that place or at that organization. So what is your impression of McDonald's? Shout out a few words. What's your impression and your experience with McDonald's?
Kid-friendly.
Kid-friendly?
System.
So they have a system.
Good french fries?
What was yours?
Grandkids.
Take your grandkids there? Okay.
Stay away?
All right. Okay, what about the last time you were on an airplane? What's your experience with the last airline that you went on a plane?
Outstanding.
Tight? What else? What was that?
Delayed,
okay.
Understanding,
that's a good
one.
On time, long, okay. We're at Pepperdine, so what's your impression of Pepperdine University? It's an organization.
Awesome.
Stairs.
That's a good one. What else? What's your impression of Pepperdine?
Intentional, liberal.
Welcoming.
First class, that's a good one. Okay, how about Starbucks?
Expensive.
Joyful, strong.
Delicious.
You answered yes to Starbucks. You voted for Starbucks, didn't you? Inviting. Okay. So you can see from this quick little exercise that organizations have made an impression on you. And we've all got this mental catalog of impressions. And you probably see where I'm going with this. Churches are no different. Churches make impressions on people too. And so our churches don't get a free pass on how we treat our guests. And guests at any organization, including churches, they want to experience people who are genuine. And they want to go to a place where it feels like people matter. So in this session, I'm going to share a vision for guest service, particularly focusing on these two ideas. And the first is that each and every guest that comes to your church comes with a unique story. And number two, your church makes a very tangible first impression on your guests that people feel and that they experience, just like when you ride on a plane or just like when you go to a restaurant. So occasionally, people will ask me what scriptures we can look to for guidance on serving guests that come to our church. And if you look at the Bible through that lens, there's actually a lot to take away on the topic of just serving guests that are in your life and in your circle. And so certainly the numerous one another passages that you find throughout scriptures are relevant, like be hospitable to one another, be kind to one another, serve one another, love one another. And so there's a lot of those one another verses in the Bible that shape the way we treat people. Another wonderful truth that we all know is the golden rule I got on the screen here. It's found in Matthew 7:12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. And Jesus says this sums up all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets is summed up with that simple phrase. And those are Jesus' words, and there's a reason that your kindergarten teacher taught you that quote, right? Because it's a gem, and it's so simple. And I like to think about it from the perspective of serving guests that come to your church. Think about how you wanted to be treated the first time you came to a church or the first time you came to your community, and then treat others with that same level of care. So it has great implications for guest service. But my favorite verse to think about on the topic of how we treat guests that come to church is Matthew 11:28-30. And Jesus puts it like this in the Message version. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." Man, I love that line. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Man, who doesn't want to be a part of that, right? First impressions at your church is about creating this atmosphere that is expressed in Jesus' invitation. Everyone is welcome here. Everyone is invited to come and experience grace-filled community. And these words from Jesus, they create depth and they create meaning for your guest service at your church. Because ultimately, serving guests isn't about a slick marketing strategy or your attendance numbers or feeling good about a program or a system that you've developed. Guest service doesn't exist so that we can cater to everyone's personal taste and what everyone's fancy is, but guest service is responding to the much weightier calling that we all have to create disciples of Christ and to help people grow into their relationship with God. And when people come to your church, it's your opportunity just to welcome them into this grace-filled community. And you can help your guests feel valued and show them that people care about their tired, worn-out soul. And so what your service does is it earns you a relationship with your guests. And that trusting relationship, it creates the space that you need for your church to actually start leading people into discipleship and into the greater mission of following Jesus. So from that vision, at my church, First Calling Church, we've developed a ministry team that we call our First Impressions Ministry. This ministry is made up of several groups of volunteer teams. All these volunteers serve in our lobby area or outside at the front main entrance of our building. I'm just going to quickly give you an overview of these main teams and what they do. They're not all up here, but then we'll talk more about why we do it, because that's the important part. So this can look different at, you know, your church and your context, but for us, we have parking lot greeters that are right out on the front curb, and they're saying good morning and hello, and we're glad you're here, to everybody they see. But they're especially watching our rows of guest parking spots, and when they see someone park in those spots, then they're ready to help that person, and they make sure that they're greeted and that they get a program. So we have parking lot greeters. We have door greeters that just stand at the main door and they smile and say hello and they help open the door for people. One of the most effective things we've done over the last few years is we created an area called New Here, Start Here, just right inside our main entrance. And it's just an easy, visible landing spot for guests. So when they come through the door and they kind of feel lost, they know, hey, I'm new, I'm going to start right there. And we've got guides there and volunteers that can answer their basic questions and walk them where they need to go. When our senior minister asks people to fill out their communication cards, he invites them to come to New Here, Start Here after the service, and they get a free gift. Right now we're giving away the book Grace by Max Lucado, and so they're excited to get that gift, and they come and they bring their card and we can help them, and that helps with our follow-up process throughout the week. And follow-up's kind of a whole other session. Maybe some other time I can do a class on your follow-up system. But our New Here, Start Here area has just been a very visible and successful way for guests just to know where they can go and where they can get the help that they need. So New Here, Start Here has been good. We have worship center greeters, just people right in front of the worship center doors. If they missed all the other stuff I just told you about, there's somebody there to to say hi and to hand them a program. And then in a different area of our lobby, we have an info center and somebody that's at that desk just ready to help answer any general questions that people have. So that's our First Impressions crew at First Calling Church, and I just wanted to give you kind of a picture of that. At our First Impressions ministry, we've developed a team purpose and what a team win is. And my hope is to have these just simple, easy goals that people can remember, and everybody that's volunteering, they can quickly think about this stuff. It comes to their mind as they're serving and volunteering. So our team purpose is to help guests feel welcome and valued so they come back to First Colony and experience the love of Jesus. So when we feel personally valued in a particular setting, then we're likely to return to that place. If you go somewhere and you feel valued and like people matter, then you're probably going to go back. But the opposite's also true. You'll think twice about returning to a place where you've been made to feel devalued or marginalized. So when First Calling guests decide to check out our church, and when they feel welcome and valued, then there's a good chance that they'll return. And we don't want guests to come back just so we can pat ourselves on the back, but we want guests to return because I believe wholeheartedly that every time they come back, then they have the opportunity to experience Jesus' love and to be a part of Christian community. And they've got lots of other options of things they can choose to do on Sunday morning. So, but when they come to church, then they can experience Jesus, and we want them to come back and have that opportunity. So we want to communicate value to guests and do whatever we can to help them feel welcome and come back next Sunday. And when I talk about guests, I mean, we obviously serve all types of guests. You have your kind of church savvy folks that sort of know what's going on, and, you know, we have systems that help them too, that they'll find their way a little bit easier. But really what I'm picturing is people that haven't been at church in a long time or have maybe never been to church and have kind of an uneasiness or unfamiliar with what's going to happen when they come through the front doors. And so we want to help them come back next Sunday. So, okay, this is critical. When you talk about communicating value to guests that come to church, there's this concept called the 10-minute principle. And it comes from this idea. So the smart people that do market research and analysis on what happens when people check your church out, their information from guests say that when people visit a new church, they start evaluating their experience just the moment they arrive on your campus, and guests start doing that immediately, maybe even if they don't realize that they're doing it. And so people get this really quick sense of whether they want to come back to a church or not, and people start to form an impression in the parking lot and when they enter the lobby on the way to drop off their kids, or even just if they're trying to find the restroom. So somewhere they're along that way, they're forming an impression. So the challenge for us is just to be highly aware that the first impression that your church makes happens before the worship service even starts. They've already formed an impression. And somewhere between the parking lot and your children's ministry area, the 10 minutes have passed. And before the music starts, before the message is ever delivered, we want our guests to feel grateful and to be present at our church. So we've got 10 minutes to make a first impression that is a good lasting impression. So how do we make a good first impression then? The how part is what I like to call the win. And you want to have a strong sense of what a win is for your ministry. And the win's easy to recognize when it happens. And when you see it, you can say, hey, today we experienced a win. And get excited about it. I love it when our team members talk about experiencing a win, and you know, you can high-five each other and you can celebrate it when a win happens. And so for us, a first impressions team win is creating a wow experience for first-time guests. And we have the potential to create wow experiences for people in lots of ways. There are all kinds of examples. So things that come to mind when we have a greeter that just gives someone a warm hello and opens the front door. When you have somebody that guides a guest to wherever their next destination is, maybe takes them over to your children's ministry area and helps them get checked in. When you walk someone to the worship center and pass them off to an usher, and the usher helps them find a good seat. If you just introduce yourself when you can tell someone's lost, a classic thing people do when they're not sure where to go or they're brand new is they slow their pace down and they look up at the ceiling. And so when you see someone do that, you can offer to help and answer a basic question, and do things like just offering a bottle of water or a cup of coffee that helps put people at ease. So those extra touches make guests say, wow. And when guests think, wow, it's because he or she feels affirmed and they feel valued. And then as a church, we've said, you matter. We're glad that you're here. And so our service and our hospitality is a way of welcoming guests into our grace-filled community. So I've got this funny story that illustrates having a wow experience. Recently, I lost a button on one of my favorite shirts. And it was just like a plain, simple black button. For whatever reason, the shirt didn't have a replacement button. And I thought, I really want to keep wearing this shirt, so I'm going to buy a button. I looked when I was at the grocery store one day, and they didn't have it. And I was at Target, and I couldn't find the button. And I thought, like, where do you get a button? I don't know. So I happened to ask my sister-in-law, and she said, you should go to Joann Fabric Store. And I was like, I've never been to Joann, but I knew there was a Joann right across the street from my office at the church building. So I thought, that's perfect. I'm going to go on my lunch break. And so sure enough, on my lunch break, I went over to Joann, and I walked through the front door, and I quickly realized, have any of you been to Joann? You know what it's like there? Yeah, I had no clue. So I walked through the front door, and I realized I'm at like the Costco of like sewing and fabric and like hobby type stuff. And I did that, exactly. I slowed my pace down and I looked up at the ceiling and I just kind of started like walking like this, wondering where I was supposed to go. So guess what happened? This customer service lady came up and said, sir, is there anything I can help you with? And I said, yes, I just need to find a simple black button. And she said, great, I'm going to walk you over to where the buttons are. She walked me all the way to the very back of the store. I never would have found this row in a million years on myself. She walked me right over there. When we got there, she didn't just ditch me, but she said, okay, this huge long shelf, this entire row is all buttons, but you can ignore everything from here down. Just pretend that doesn't exist. And this little column right here, that's where you're going to live, okay? That's where you're going to find your button. And I said, great. And she said, is there anything else I can help you with? I said, no, thanks. This is perfect. So I looked in that tiny little row. I found a plain black button that matched the one that I needed. I went to the cashier. I paid my 52 cents. And I left. I started walking out of the store. As I was leaving the store, I kind of started chuckling to myself. I had a grin on my face, and I thought, I just had a wow experience. And I've taught our volunteers about this, and something else occurred to me. I realized this is exactly how guests feel when they visit my church, First Colony, because it's big, it's overwhelming, you don't know where to go, you kind of feel out of place when you first walk through the door. And what that lady at Joann did is she put me at ease. She eliminated uncertainty. She helped me not to feel overwhelmed. This is good. She listened to my needs and responded. And then she just guided me through the process. She guided me through it. And so I had a wow experience at Joann. But the uneasy feelings that I had walking into that giant fabric store are the same feelings that your guests have when they walk through the doors of your church. And it's your job to put them at ease and help them feel valued. And so that's what it means to have a wow experience. Within the first 10 minutes, we want a guest to think, wow, they care about me. And if our guests can say, wow, I'm impressed within their first 10 minutes on campus, then we've succeeded. So that's the 10-minute principle at work. And what's awesome is there's just no limit to the ways that you can make guests say wow. You can be creative. You can have fun with it. Volunteers will come up with stuff that you never thought of, and every volunteer has the potential to create a wow experience. So I'm going to switch gears for a minute, and I want you to find the inner artist that you have deep down inside you. So you can get to know your neighbors a little with, you know, 2, 3, 4 of you, that's fine. I'm going to give you a blank piece of paper and a marker, and I want you to draw your image of a guest service superhero. And so you can imagine the traits and the features and the characteristics and special powers that a guest service superhero has, and then draw your superhero. So here's the thing. I don't want you to stress about your artistic skills, all right? You can nominate somebody in your group who's the most confident. If you're a modern day Van Gogh, then that's a bonus. But if you have to draw a stick man guest service superhero, then nobody's going to judge you, okay? So I'm going to pass these around. And I'll set my timer and give you a few minutes to draw your superhero. So go ahead and find a few neighbors, and I'll give everybody a marker. Okay, you got 2 more minutes.
I'm not sure.
Okay. I wish we had time to, if we had more time, I'd have everybody share, but maybe we'll do two. So who's super proud of their drawing? Who wants to show it off? Anyone? Show us what you came up with. Oh, you know, you could do it where you're standing, but that's okay.
Okay. It has got big ears, and they listen to the answers when you ask questions, and bright, twinkly eyes that he's glad to see him. Big smile. Some welcoming words of, hey, glad to see you here. How did you find us? Have you heard about us? You know, how did you know about our place? Then a firm handshake, and at the same time, another arm reaching out and grabbing a buddy and saying, here, let me introduce you to.
That's good.
And let's see, what else?
The step forward.
Yeah, you don't just wait behind the podium for him to come and figure out that you're the greeter. You go, hey, glad to see you here.
All right, that's good.
I haven't met you before. Have you been here before? And I just didn't meet you. How did you hear about us? What are you looking for? Like if they came for a particular program, if they have children with them. Oh, we have a marvelous children's activity, and I want you to meet this guy here. He'll take you, he'll show your kids right where you go.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
You're home here.
Let's go. There you go. She needs to be at your church doing guest service. That was awesome. Thank you for sharing your superhero. Okay, so here's the quick application of our superhero exercise. We train our guest service people on this, and they try to do this with every person that they interact with. It's First Impressions Ministry, and it's First Calling. So we have this acronym called FIRST. You could make up a different acronym. I've seen it with Hello from a resource I'll tell you about in a minute when we wrap up. But just really quick, F is for friendly greeting, and so that means smiling and saying hello and good morning, maybe a handshake. For me, just a bare minimum, even for people that want to kind of be low-key and not be known necessarily, and they don't want brochures and a speech, and maybe they kind of want to stay off the radar. That bare minimum is that everybody that comes to the door should get a smile, a hello, and a program. So friendly greeting. Insist on being in the moment is I. Insist on being in the moment. So that means that you look available. You're actually looking available and you're ready to help. You're not distracted talking to a group of friends. Nobody wants to interrupt somebody talking to four people to ask them a question. I mean, staying off your phone, so that's a good reminder for me. You can't be texting and looking at Facebook. Put the phone away. And you're just watching for guests and ready to take action. Just like you said, taking that step forward. I love that. Remember to listen, so you never want to be the one doing all the talking. If you are, that's a problem. And then just not pouncing on somebody and overwhelming them with info. Sometimes I see our volunteers do that. A person walks into that new Here Start Here area, and two of our volunteers like attack them and start giving them this big spiel and brochures and telling them everything, and the person looks overwhelmed. And it turns out that they were late, and they just wanted to know where the worship center was. And so I'm like, guys, like, ratchet it down 10 levels. So
don't be too nosy and tell them
yeah.
They don't need to know.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes you tell them too much. So listen, identify the need, and then offer help. This one's huge. Serve by guiding. That's S. Serve by guiding. So we train our volunteers to walk guests to their next destination instead of pointing and describing and telling them, go down to the second wing and up the stairs and turn right, and then you'll go to the D wing area, and there's this room called the attic. It's like, no, just walk them over there, okay? And then you get to talk with them for a couple minutes on the way. And then the last one, T, is so important. Just thank you for being here today. Every conversation should be ended with thank you for being here. We're so glad you're here. Another great closing comment that adds value to people is there anything else I can do to help you because I have time? So that last part, because I have time, is saying, I'm not too busy for you. I'm available and here to help. So you can practice using FIRST when you meet people at church, or you can come up with your own acronym. I have a handout that summarizes the team purpose, first impressions win, the 10-minute principle, and FIRST. In my wildest dreams, I thought 30 people were going to come to my class. So I think I might have surpassed that. So if you don't want a handout, you can save it for the people that do. But there's 30 of them, so we'll go. Hopefully they'll, most people can get one. I mentioned earlier the deeper needs that our guests have, and this idea that everybody comes to your church with a story. And a guest story is not something that you just notice easily on the surface, but if you look closer into the person's life, you'll see that a deeper story is there. And so you've probably heard of this little company called Chick-fil-A.
Oh yeah.
Right? Now I've got your attention because everybody loves Chick-fil-A. You can think about the experience that you have at Chick-fil-A. That should have been one of the ones we did where you shout out what you think about it. But they're like the gold standard for providing quality service as a fast food chain, right? So compared to McDonald's or Jack in the Box, somebody said stay away from McDonald's. Chick-fil-A just has a better look and a better feel and a better experience to it. So you go there and there's flowers on the table and it's clean, and employees come around sometimes and ask me if I want my drink filled up. When you're at McDonald's, under no circumstances does anybody ever come and ask you to have your drink filled up, right? So Chick-fil-A has a term for this higher quality experience, and it's in their training manual. They train all their workers on this. It's called second mile service. And that comes from Matthew 5:41. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. And what Jesus is saying, you know, don't just stop at the first mile, but go the second mile and think about the difference it makes when you go beyond what the minimum expectation is, when you go beyond just what you're obligated to do. What kind of opportunity does that open up for relationship and conversation? And Jesus knows that when we go above and beyond the minimum expectation, when we go the second mile, people notice and it makes an impact. And Chick-fil-A has a video that captures this beautifully. So let's check that out.
It's pretty powerful.
Isn't that cool?
Very cool.
Yeah. I've seen that video like 30 times now, and I still want to cry every time, especially when the cow hugs the girl. You're like, but Chick-fil-A understands that guests have a story, and that people matter, and that when we serve people, we have an opportunity to go the second mile and to bring some light into their life. And taking our cue from Chick-fil-A, if you think about the guests at your church, those examples that they put up there, like, we could all raise our hands and say we've experienced and felt and had the fears and concerns and life situations like those. And so that gives you an idea of the burden that your guests carry when they come to your church and when they enter your building. And you meet your guests and they seem like typical people from your community, and that's true, and they're not that different from you. But it's important to remember that behind the smiles are the people that have real needs, and they're looking for real answers, and they're looking for hope. And many, if not most, guests would say, "Help me, I need something." They're not going to tell you that right away, but they, if they really could, they'd probably say, "I need somebody to help me with my life." And that's a big reason why people decide to come to church, and that's why a church needs to stand ready to show our guests, "You matter, we're glad that you're here. How can we help you?" And the good news is that we can provide the hope that they're looking for through Jesus. So a few quick takeaways. I think I got 3 minutes. So takeaways for creating wow experiences when you get back home. Just remember that every life has a story. And so when we meet someone new, there's a deeper story there to their life. It's an opportunity to love them and to communicate value and to welcome them into your community. Number two, your church is making a first impression on every single guest. And you can leave it up to chance and kind of hope for the best, or you can be strategic and you can have a system in place that makes a good first impression. The third thing is, as Christians, we're all challenged by Jesus to give second mile service and to go the second mile for people. And so whether you're on a volunteer team with a specific role or not, everybody can go the second mile for guests, and everybody can create wow experiences. And that's in your lobby and in your parking lot and in your family ministry area and during your meet and greet time, and not to mention when you actually leave your church building and go into your community and just go about your day-to-day business. But every day is just full of opportunities to create wow experiences and to go the second mile with people. And so the last thing, I guess, is a question. Number four, what's a tangible next step that you can take to serve guests better at your church? And maybe it's even your first step. If you don't have a guest service ministry, your first step might just be creating a team of door greeters. Or maybe you have a good system, but your next step is to create a New Year's Start Here area or something else. But just think of what's that one step and have fun with it and build it from there. I've loved just kind of creating and thinking and just having this be a work in process. And you can start somewhere. So as we finish up, I want to give you a couple of my favorite resources on this topic. So my favorite book about this is called First Impressions by Mark Waltz. And several of the topics that we talked about today come from this book. It's just loaded with ideas that you can use and share and adapt for your church setting. Another good resource comes from a guy named Nelson Searcy, and you can go to churchleaderinsights.com and download what they call the Assimilation Seminar, and you just listen to a couple sessions on your computer. It comes with notes and templates and things that you can use. He also has a book called Fusion that goes through a lot of the same things that are in the seminar. So if you're a reader, you can get the book. If you want to listen to the seminar, you can do that. But all these resources, what they help do is outline a system for guest service and for follow-up. And it's just practical, and it's relevant for any church size. So that's one thing I would encourage you. So it doesn't matter if you're a 10,000-person mega church or if you're a little church of 50 people. You can use the ideas in these resources. You can build your ministry and fit it to your context. So in my own ministry, at First Colony, we've gotten tons of ideas from these resources, and we don't follow things exactly the way they do it, but It's been fun to just kind of adjust and adapt and make a system that works well for our little corner in Houston. Like one example is in the assimilation seminar, they're in Manhattan, and he says, we never call people after they visit because it freaks them out. Well, we've found that when we call people, they absolutely love it. They light up and they can't believe that somebody at our church took the time to give them a quick call and say thank you for coming. And so we do phone calls, and people love that experience. So I don't follow everything exactly the way it's in these, but you can kind of find what works for you. So that's my bibliography. I took ministry classes here several years ago, and I know Dr. Highfield expects a good work cited, or I won't get an A on this assignment. So that's, yeah, some really good resources for you. So I'm going to cut you loose, but thank you so much for being here today. And if you'd like to talk or ask any questions, I'll be hanging out. But thank you for coming. Thank you.